Well, thank you so much for letting us do this today. It's a privilege and a joy for some of our youth to get up and to share the testimonies from the trip. And part of this is a thank you to you guys. The church supports missions in a big way and allows us to go each and every year. And so this is our way of giving back to you guys and saying thank you for helping us to be able to go on these trips. But also so that we can share with you guys and encourage you in your faith. For us, getting to go on these trips definitely encourages us and lifts us up, and we come back stronger and ready to share our faith with the world while we're here and to make new change in our life. And so we hope that as we share our stories today, that they would not only encourage and affirm you in your faith, but maybe challenge you as well. Make you think about new things about the way you live here in America versus the way we lived there. And if you guys have any questions for us at all, feel free to ask us after the service. Most of you know us, so you're welcome to continue to ask good questions and hear more about our trip. So first up for today, we're going to have two high school students who went on our Jamaica mission trip share with you guys. We're going to have the newest member of the Buckman family as well as a friend of Maggie's that came on our trip with us. So Mira's going to come up first and share, and then Amelia is going to share after her.
Good morning. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mira. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I went to Jamaica on the mission trip. Going to Jamaica on a mission trip was absolutely incredible, and seeing how God moved through every single person in our group was so amazing to watch. Coming into this trip and throughout my first year of high school, I thought a lot about what my future would be like and if it would work out how I wanted. I asked myself a lot of what-if questions. What if I don't get into the college of my choice? What if I don't get into med school? What if I don't find the guy I want to marry at the right time? What if I can't have children? I was constantly worrying about what was next and thinking if I got a B on a test that my future was going to be ruined. But on this trip, God spoke to me and he gave me a kind of peace I didn't have before. I was able to realize that my future isn't in my hands. It's in God's hands, and I've got to trust that he knows what he's doing because I have no control of what's going to happen next. But he has control and he has a plan for me. And whatever that is going to happen regardless of if it's what I want or not. And I just have to trust that the rest will work out.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Amelia. I've known Maggie since sixth grade, so it's really a great opportunity to be able to go on this mission trip and represent your church in Jamaica. So my time in Jamaica, I would like to say, is summed up by the verse John 14:18, which says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will comfort you," or come to you. Prior to Jamaica, I felt comfortless. I really was stuck in the mold of, I'm a Christian because I was brought up as one, but I didn't feel a true fulfillment in Christ like I wanted to. I did Bible studies with my friends. I went to Young Life, but nothing really stuck with me and really gave me the relationship that I was wanting. I felt forgotten by the Lord and didn't want to keep trying to grow in Christ. In early December, Olivia and I got a text from Maggie telling us about this missions trip that her church was going on. Without hesitation, me and Olivia both were just like, yes, and we were very excited with the months leading up to it. The first night in Mandeville left me overwhelmed with God's presence. It is absolutely true about what is said in Matthew chapter 28, that where two or more people gathered in his name, he truly is there. One night, the pastor who came to Jamaica with the church from Alabama, he talked about the feeling of being messed with by God. And when I say messed with by God putting something on your heart and just really nagging you with it, I knew God was messing with me in Jamaica, and he put missions on my heart to show me he was here. As we poured the foundation of a new house for a sweet mom and her daughter, I felt fulfillment seeping through me. The full impact didn't hit me until our second to last day. I had the privilege of leading a group of third graders in the summer's greatest outreach program, also known as SCO. I quickly became attached to the 9 kids who I was leading and who welcomed me with open arms and were eager to play with my hair and to sing me songs. On our last day with the kids, Francie, one of the third graders I was with, pulled me to the side and told me that she loved me and hoped that I never forgot her, her friends, or Jamaica. Francie is only 9 years old, and she showed me the comfort and peace of God. I will never forget her or the time I spent getting to love her. God came to me this trip. He showed himself to me through Francie. He showed me the fruit of the Holy Spirit and how tall it grew in Mandeville. Most importantly, he didn't leave me comfortless, but he found me in Jamaica. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Amelia. I've known Maggie since sixth grade. So
my name is Lucas Pierce, and I went on the West Virginia middle school trip. And in our work group, I had Zach and Maddie in my work group. And we worked on a man's mobile home, and we worked on his roof, his floor, and one of his walls, and his front door wasn't really working. And I think we really impacted his faith, because he said he was a Christian, but I think just having people there, he was a lot less lonely, because he lives all by himself. And I think after we were done, he felt more secure and safe that now that he doesn't have a leaky roof and a rotting wall and stuff. And personally, this was my first mission trip. And like I said before, I was pretty nervous about being one of the youngest people there because I'm going into sixth grade. And I was also sort of nervous about the work and it being, like, super hard and backbreaking and stuff. But actually, it was pretty fun, and it wasn't that hard. It was pretty easy. And I was most faithfully impacted by the testimonies that some of the counselors gave and their journey through Christ and how they got to know Christ. And then also the morning devotionals, which was about the life of Peter and him with Jesus and his journey and just really thinking about that deeply. And thanks to this mission trip, I learned to trust God more and give him more control of my life, because I felt like I was just sort of like, sure, I believe in God, but like, do I really give him everything that I have and completely trust him? And I feel like I got more to that degree. And I'm very thankful for this mission trip. It was super fun, and I got to be with God and be with other people. And yeah.
Hello, I'm Olivia. I'm Maggie's friend from kindergarten. Prior to coming to...
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sarah Buckman. I'm going into seventh grade at Charlotte Christian, and I went on the West Virginia middle school mission trip. I'm just going to be honest with you. When I first heard about the West Virginia mission trip, I wasn't really wanting to go because I've never been on one, so my parents kind of made me go. But I was actually very glad that they made me because I had a really good time. I had never been away from home for longer than like 2 nights, which was on the confirmation retreat. I was very nervous and like pretty jittery when we loaded the van to leave for Panther, which was where we were gonna serve God. I said my goodbyes to my mom, and then I hopped in the van. And once we started like talking and sort of like the awkward nervousness went away, I started to feel a little better because, I mean, we are God's children, just going to do God's work, and that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. So we arrived after stopping for Chick-fil-A and Subway because we were starving, and the school we were staying at, thankfully, did not meet my expectations because I was thinking that the walls would be, like, tilting in and you would feel like you were, like, about to get buried by, like, 500 pounds of broken concrete. And it would, like, smell bad from the sulfur water, and, like, my list could go on. Anyways, we were greeted by a cheery staff member that offered to help us take our 9,000 pounds of luggage up the stairs into our rooms. We were assigned to our groups, and a few painful luggage loads later, we were all settled in. We ate dinner and then slept until, like, 6:30 a.m., which this part I forgot about when Zach told us. They wake you up singing and banging pots and pans. So I was scared for a second because I thought I had been kidnapped and transported to a circus in my sleep. And then I was fine after I looked at my surroundings and remembered where I was. We did some quiet time with our group and with God, then headed down for breakfast, which was really good. Like, between the waffles, the French toast, and the pancakes, I was like a stuffed balloon. Like, every single meal was so good. And then we had a little prayer before we headed out to work, and then we were off. And that week, I was blessed to have Miss Catabaugh and Levi in my group, along with about, eight other fantastic and likable people. I was ecstatic to meet everyone, and I had a great time with my group. Our homeowner we assisted that week was Miss Betty Church, and the floors on her back part of the house had been damaged during a flood, so we replaced those floors and the beams, along with some other small chores, such as sanding down the cabinets in her kitchen, cleaning the tiles, etc. One of my main God moments was seeing her face as we progressed throughout the week, and just watching her, see her house get fixed up, and that was pretty moving for us. I also think that as a kid, it's cool to know that, even though you're small and young and naive, you can still make a huge difference in someone's life. Also on this trip, a person in my group, Jimmy, taught me how to use a circular saw, a power drill, and a hammer. Hammer nails, which was, super fun. It was very anger relieving. It was very fun. That experience also taught me that I had terrible eye-hand coordination as I beat my hand up with a hammer, so that was very fun. And then I think my other main God moment was the very last night when we all stood in a circle and sang Oceans, and we were just all pretty moved, and we didn't really want to leave. So I went from not wanting to go to not wanting to leave, which I thought was pretty special. But despite the many bruises that had come with that week, I had a very good time, and I would definitely recommend it to a friend.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Elizabeth, but you all probably know me. I'm a rising junior in high school, and I went to Jamaica. I loved being in Jamaica, and I think the thing that impacted me most was, meeting people who had just, the strongest faith that I'd ever seen. For example, while we were in Jamaica, we visited the infirmary, which is basically this place where, the mentally and physically disabled went when they had nowhere else to go. We had a chance to talk to several of them, and literally, every one of them had a Bible verse right off the top of their head that they wanted us to read to them. And we would offer to pray for them, and they would joyfully agree. And then one woman even sang Go Tell It on the Mountain for me and Maggie, and you could tell she was so excited to sing it. And I was just amazed to see how strong their faith could be, even, in times when they might have felt alone because, they were away from their family, and, a lot of them, their roommates couldn't even talk to them. So they were, really lonely, but you know, they just had such strong faith, and I feel a lot of times in my own life, I find it easy to praise God in the good times, and it's a lot harder to praise him in the harder times. And to just see how people could be so solid in their faith, no matter what the circumstances were, really showed me, what I should be doing in my own life. On my work site, we had Jamaican laborers who would help show us, how we should get our work done. And one of them was an older man named David, and he would always volunteer to pray over the worksite each morning. And David's prayers were unlike anyone else's I've ever heard. You could tell just by listening to the way he speaks to God that he just loves him so much and has such a strong relationship with him. He would spend 10 whole minutes just praising God for everything that he's done before even asking him to bless the work we were about to do. And listening to David's prayers definitely showed me how a person prays when they truly love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and strength. Every night while we were in Jamaica, a member from summer staff would share their testimony, and one that really impacted me was from a girl named Camila. She talked about the intense struggles and hardships her family had been through and was still going through to this day, and she talked about how her relationship with Jesus had helped her through everything. But anyone that's met her can agree she is probably one of the happiest, most joyful people you've ever met. Her joy is so contagious, and it was amazing to see how her relationship with Jesus could bring so much joy to her life despite her circumstances. So my trip to Jamaica was an amazing experience, and I'm glad it gave me a chance to serve the Lord and get closer to my friends. But I'm much more thankful for the examples of rock-solid faith that God showed me I could have in my own life.
My name is Melissa Cadabaugh, and I had the distinct privilege of accompanying the middle schoolers to West Virginia, Panther, West Virginia, along with Zach. And when he first asked, I said, you know, I think I could do that. I mean, it was a pretty automatic, sure, it was pretty soon afterwards that I said yes, because I knew of Sun Servants. I knew it would be a Christ-focused trip, that we would grow in our relationship to the Lord, and we would also be able to be the hands and feet of Christ out in a community that needed it. And also, I knew the middle schoolers. And I said, well, they're an awesome bunch. That was never a concern of mine. So the first email came with all the details about the trip, and the word that stuck out to me was rustic. And this is where the apprehensions started to creep in a little. And the first thing that rustic meant was that we wouldn't have cell phone service. And I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I have responsibilities. You know, what would that look like? I mean, it's possible. I knew that there would be a procedure if there was going to be an emergency that I could be reached. But how would that look like day to day, not being in touch? I wasn't sure. The next thing was the idea of the sulfur water, the cold water for showers, you know, that sort of thing about not being comfortable. It's like, but maybe we would have air conditioning where we slept. Great. Okay, well, we'll see. So the third thing was the work was pretty much going to be construction related. And with a back and knees that aren't quite as young as they used to be, I thought, can I even do the labor that will be required? So I knew that all this was going to have to go to God. You know, he was going to have to take this. He was going to have to work with me on this and make it all right. I'm here to proclaim he did take all of these apprehensions I had and give me peace and provide even more abundantly than I thought. My family was indeed kept safe while I was gone, and I even had the extra added benefit and joy of freedom from a cell phone for 4 straight days. That never happens, and it really can be a joy, let me say. And then as far as the showers, the water, we had plenty of good drinking water when we needed it. There was actually some warm water for the showers, and even though the air conditioning that was promised wasn't really very air-conditioned and cool, I was able to still sleep through the heat, which is a minor miracle in itself. And then the work was very spread across. We did have some heavy lifting. We did have some power tools and things, but there were also some things that I could do. I constantly had a broom or a shovel in my hand just trying to clear debris, and it also opened up time for discussions with the homeowner. So it turned out, of course, just fine, as I knew it would, and he did come through as I knew God would. Our quiet time message for the week was based on the life of Peter, how he was called to become one of his disciples, how he left everything and followed him. You know, Jesus, and Jesus was able to use him mightily through his abilities and to really make a difference in the kingdom. And I feel like we also had that very similar opportunity. We left the comforts of home. We left the cell phones that we always have in our hands. And we were able to go to a place and actually make a difference and be a blessing to other people. So that was tremendous. As when we got there, we discovered there were 90 others, middle, high school kids and students that were there experiencing what we did, along with the summer staff and the adult leaders, and many of those became fast friends. We also had amazing worship together and teaching at night to really equip us for the week. So what a great, great blessing. And then, as you've heard Sarah mention, we were in the same work group. On our work site, we had an especially close working group, and our homeowner, Miss Betty, was a real testimony, I think, of just an inspiration of how we should live our lives. She was 81 years old. She had learned to be content with little and was even offering what she had to share with us. And secondly, she was such a hard worker. She offered to even help us in the work we were doing for her. And if we said, no, we've got it covered, she would go find something to clean up or do. And she was constantly busy. And then the third thing was that she wasn't willing to give up. She had a lot of adversity in her life. And she had a part-time job, if you can believe it, to help cover expenses. It was several miles down the road. Her daughter could take her most of the time and drive her there, but she didn't have transportation on her own. And the times that her daughter couldn't, she would actually get on the busy road and walk to this little bank nearby. And she said, these two legs can work, and there's no reason I shouldn't use them, so I'm going to go do it. There's no reason not to. And, you know, it was just amazing to hear her talk that way. And then she also was brought to tears several times throughout the week as we replaced a floor in her house and she didn't have a gaping hole. And she would just go, I'm just not used to people doing things for me. It's just too much. So it was so sweet. So what I'm here to say, I think, is that I indeed know that God has a way of using us. But I think all that he expects of me when he has a calling such as this trip is simply to obey, to trust, to say yes, even if it might be uncomfortable, even if you don't know exactly how it's going to work out, or if it's going to be something that I can even physically do. He expects me just to go along, and he's going to take care of the rest. And he indeed was the strength in my weaknesses and did bring me the peace in my apprehensions. And he ended up blessing me in the end. And I think we just have to be willing to be used by him. And I certainly wouldn't have wanted to miss out on that blessing. So I'm hoping that's the sort of thing that, you know, we can just experience, all of us, even while we're here, not actually on the mission field. Thank you.
So for any of you who might be interested in a future mission trip, let that be a good plug that any adult can handle it and God will pave the way for you. So if you are interested, feel free to come talk to me. Love to plug you in for next year's trips. I also want to share just a personal testimony on my end. One of the things that stood out to me the most, I've been on a lot of mission trips in my life, but one of the most impactful moments for me was when we got to visit the infirmary. And Elizabeth, and this was in Jamaica. Elizabeth mentioned a little bit about this. But when we went to the infirmary, I got to visit this elderly man who was curled up in bed. And so I saw him lying there and sat down next to him to talk to him. And as I began to listen to his story, he didn't say it outright, but I could tell that he had worked in the cornfields for most of his life, and I think he was a slave for most of his life as well. And as he was sharing, and I got to know him a little better, he shared that he didn't really have any family, he didn't have a wife or kids, and in his old age, he had become blind. And so here I'm, you know, hearing this meaningful, impacting story from him, and he's in this infirmary where it's basically just the abandoned, the forgotten ones that no one really wants to care for anymore. They're kind of on their last leg, basically. And I was just very awestruck by, throughout all this story, he was joyfully sharing it. He was laughing at different moments, and he was smiling the whole time. And after he kind of shared, toward the end, he asked if I could read him one of his favorite psalms from the Bible. And it really struck me because I was like, out of anyone, he definitely has every right to be angry, to be bitter, to be cynical in every way. And yet here he is in his old age, incredibly happy and joyful and smiling and laughing. And it just kind of made me look at my own life and think about, why am I not as joyful as he is or smiling and laughing through some of the hardest moments of my life? And it just kind of made me see the emptiness of material things. I feel like it's very easy in America to collect stuff and to chase after happiness through material things. And here was a man who had nothing in the end except his faith, and that was enough for him. And seeing someone in their old age about to die and having such joy and happiness and contentment with just his faith and just being with God forever after he passes made me realize the true worth of a lifelong commitment and pursuit of Jesus, and made me want to come back and be more willing to chase after God and pursue him and seek after that joy that he expressed. I forgot to write this down, but David says it well in Psalm chapter 63. It's something along the lines of saying that He loves God in such a way that in a dry and weary land, God is like refreshing water to him. And that was really impactful for me. I also wanted to share, just kind of being the leader for both of these trips, what I got to see in our youth as well. And I personally, my favorite part about being the youth director is getting to go on these trips. There's something about mission trips that is a catalyst, not only for relationships, but also for our faith. And so just being able to see all the youth sacrifice so much to go on these trips, to raise the money, and then while they're there, just constantly being selfless to serve God and to serve others, giving of themselves, very little or few. I'm not sure I remember anyone ever complaining or talking ill of the trip or anything like that. They were just consistently excited and happy to be there and joyful about everything that was happening. And so I loved getting to see these strong relationships form within both groups and them grow closer together. But also, more so, just their complete focus on God and serving others really helped them to grow in their faith tremendously. And like I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I challenged them with is how can they take what we had on the trip and be able to come and change it back here? And it's really cool to experience the change that happened from before the trip to after. And hopefully, you know, knowing them, you guys get to see that as well. And yeah, that was definitely what impacted me a lot as a youth director, kind of seeing, well, there's this momentum, there's this spiritual change and depth that has happened that we can pick up on and carry forward into the future for this year. And it made me really hopeful and excited for what God's going to do in our church and in our youth group for this year. So thank you guys so much for letting us get up and do this today, but also for supporting us and helping us to go on a trip like this. It's definitely one of the greatest blessings of my life, and I'm sure the youth can say similarly.
In Jamaica, my life consisted of anxiety and a number of health concerns. I began to distance myself from God. I'm still unsure of why I initially began to feel this distance, whether it was because I felt unworthy of his love or if I was so afraid of dealing with the emotional toll of all my problems had put on me. I sunk to a new low that I had not experienced before when I could not understand why God was putting me through so much. I was angry and hurt. I felt quite betrayed, yet when we arrived in Jamaica, I was overcome by God's grace. From the small moments of watching Maggie stick most of her body out the window to see all of God's creations, to breaking up fights between my kids during SCO, I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders as God showed me how much good there was and that holding on to my anger was only holding me back. The sense of calmness I experienced was something I had not felt in a while. One of the nights there, Mac, the worship leader, gave us a song of silence to pray over one another. That was the moment I finally let go and let God take all the weight off of my problems off of me. The newfound strength I found in God showed me that he was not abandoning me, I was just ignoring him. And that not only could I conquer everything in my life, that I would also allow more joy while doing so. Since Jamaica, my health has dramatically gotten better. I also found myself less and less anxious and more excited about what life has had to offer and how I could better serve God. I became more intentional in my worshiping and had a greater desire to spend time with God. The trip to Jamaica showed me that with God, all is possible.
It's really a great opportunity to be able to go on this mission trip and represent your church in Jamaica. So my time in Jamaica, I would like to say, is summed up by the verse John 14:18, which says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will comfort you," or come to you. Prior to Jamaica, I felt comfortless. I really was stuck in the mold of, I'm a Christian because I was brought up as one, but I didn't feel a true fulfillment in Christ like I wanted to. I did Bible studies with my friends. I went to Young Life, but nothing really stuck with me and really gave me the relationship that I was wanting. I felt forgotten by the Lord and didn't want to keep trying to grow in Christ. In early December, Olivia and I got a text from Maggie telling us about this missions trip that her church was going on. Without hesitation, me and Olivia both were just like, yes, and we were very excited with the months leading up to it. The first night in Mandeville left me overwhelmed with God's presence. It is absolutely true about what is said in Matthew chapter 28, that where two or more people gathered in his name, he truly is there. One night, the pastor who came to Jamaica with the church from Alabama, he talked about the feeling of being messed with by God. And when I say messed with, by God putting something on your heart and just really nagging you with it. I knew God was messing with me in Jamaica, and he put missions on my heart to show me he was here. As we poured the foundation of a new house for a sweet mom and her daughter, I felt fulfillment seeping through me. The full impact didn't hit me until our second to last day. I had the privilege of leading a group of third graders in the summer's greatest outreach program, also known as SCO. I quickly became attached to the 9 kids who I was leading and who welcomed me with open arms and were eager to play with my hair and to sing me songs. On our last day with the kids, Francie, one of the third graders I was with, pulled me to the side and told me that she loved me and hoped that I never forgot her, her friends, or Jamaica. Francie is only 9 years old, and she showed me the comfort and peace of God. I will never forget her or the time I got spent to the time I spent getting to love her. God came to me this trip. He showed himself to me through Francie. He showed me the fruit of the Holy Spirit and how tall it grew in Mandeville. Most importantly, he didn't leave me comfortless, but he found me in Jamaica.